Very Merry Christmas to all of you. It's been quite a cold few days, and we're here in this darkest time of year. So we're praying that the Lord's birth would warm up our hearts, which become so cold so often. We find it so difficult to love. We pray too that His birth would bring light, illumine our lives, so that we might be freed from confusion and error, and when we feel lost, we might know His guiding light and His way might be revealed to us. You know, there's a lot of people that consider our Christian faith mythology. And they might hear the story of Jesus' birth and consider it to be myth. They might acknowledge it to be a beautiful and heartwarming one, but seemingly, to their eyes, it's a myth. Now, first of all, we have many reasons to believe confidently that the life of Jesus is not a myth, right? It's not just the Christians and the gospel writers who wrote about Him, but people who did not believe in Him wrote and affirmed His existence. And even all of those who did not place their trust in Him affirmed that He was a miracle worker. But anyway, as far as this story, is it written in the genre of mythology? When we study ancient pagan myths about the births of baby gods and the like, Zeus and Heracles, and then you compare that to what St. Luke tells us, and he's the only gospel writer that really writes about Jesus' birth, it's clear that St. Luke is intentionally not writing in the style of myth, not using that genre. Is Jesus' birth miraculous? Yes, He's born of a virgin. Are there heavenly signs that surround it? Absolutely, the angels come and glorify God for this great event and send the shepherds, and the star arises and so on. But when we look at the child Himself, when we look at baby Jesus, He reveals nothing. He does nothing. Unlike the pagan myths, this baby does not speak. This baby does not receive sustenance from some heavenly source. This baby does not manifest His power in any way. You know, like Heracles, strangling the serpents in his crib. St. Luke presents Jesus as simply a baby. Defenseless, totally dependent upon his mother's care and on others to protect him. In other words, he's like you and I in every way. This is how St. Luke presents him. Not in the genre of myth, but in a way that is clear to us that Jesus has become one with us. He is like us in every way. Why would He do this, right? Why tell the story in this way? First of all, we believe that it's the truth of the story. But what's being emphasized is that God has not come to reveal His power, to overpower us. But rather, God has come to attract us to Himself. Anytime somebody brings a baby into a room, right, all of the focus of the attraction is there, right? There's nothing that draws our attention more than a tiny child. And so God humbled Himself and took on our human form and became a baby, one of us, to attract us to Him. St. Charles de Foucault, who was canonized this year, spent a lot of time in the Holy Land, and he was basically a hermit, right? And so he lived a life of contemplation. When he was in the Holy Land, he was meditating upon our Lord's birth, and this is him in the voice of Jesus, right? This is him imagining Jesus here. I was born for you in a cave in December, in the cold, homeless, in the middle of a winter's night, in the unheard of poverty of the extremely poor, in solitude, in an abandonment unique in this world. What, my children, do I want you to learn from my birth? To believe in my love. To believe that I have loved you until now. To hope in me, who have loved you so dearly. From the moment of my birth onward, I showed myself to you, giving myself wholly to you, putting myself in your hands. From then on, you could touch me, hear me, possess me, serve me, console me. Love me now. I am so close to you. This is why God became man, right? To place himself into our hands. To become one with us. So that he could invite and attract our love. Fathers of the Church said that God became man so that we could become like God. The divinity was united to our humanity so that our humanity could be raised up and united to his divinity. Now, brothers and sisters, I think it's very easy for us at times to lose hope that this is possible. How could I ever become God-like? When we find something that's very challenging, what do we do? Oftentimes we lose hope, or we just lower the standard, right, so that we can attain it. We think we can attain it. And sometimes we do that with our conception of who God is or what it's like to be holy, right? If we can lower our view of what is divine, then we can pretend to ourselves that yes, I have been transformed and been made God-like. This is why we need Christmas, to remind us of the sublime glory of God and to remind us of the possibility that we have because of his coming, that we truly can be transformed to be like God. The sublime glory of God, we get a glimpse of it in these angels who appear praising God. Glory to God in the highest. If you can just imagine the most beautiful song that you've ever heard, right, and multiply that in your mind infinitely. This is the song of heaven, right? This is the glory of God. This is the sublimity of the one whom we worship, God Almighty, the source of all that is. Love itself, goodness itself, beauty itself, the truth itself. And yet this God has become man to invite us to unite ourselves to him just as he has united himself to us, so that we could be made holy, so that we could become God-like. So what keeps us back? What prevents us from receiving this gift and responding to this invitation? All of the prophecies, all of the proclamations about Jesus' coming note that he has come as a Savior. He has come to free us from sin. And Isaiah prophesied that he would come to deal with the yoke of our oppressors and the rod of our taskmasters, that he would smash them. So what's the most terrifying and demanding and merciless taskmaster of all? It's sin. And we've all been enslaved to it. We've all been under its yoke. Jesus has come to set us free. And yet, So many of us might, when we're honest, acknowledge, but I still feel enslaved. How can it be that Jesus has set me free? Have you ever heard these stories about people who have spent a long time in solitary confinement? Maybe they were prisoners of war or political prisoners, right? Kept alone in a very small, confined space. And when they're finally free, when they get home, they might wake up in the middle of the night and find themselves huddled in the corner of a closet. Or they find themselves pacing in a 4-foot by 4-foot square. The trauma of them having been confined seeped in so deeply that even when they were free, there was something in them that imagined that they were still confined. I think it's something like that for us. We're so used to this confinement of sin that sometimes we remain there, even though we are indeed free, or at least can be, by the grace of God and what Jesus has done for us. Jesus has become one of us so that we might be freed from sin and become like God. So let's ask for this grace for Him to smash that yoke for us, to help us to live in true freedom, to not return to our confinement, but to live the new life in Christ. We ask for the grace to see by faith God who is made visible in Christ. You know, brothers and sisters, we have the opportunity to exercise that faith, not just at Christmas, but every time we come to Holy Mass, to exercise that same faith that what is so ordinary becomes divine, that the bread and wine that we offer has truly transformed the body and blood of Jesus, just as He said. If we exercise that faith here every Sunday, we will recognize God present in our lives, and we will be more ready to respond to His invitation to be made God-like by His grace and to be freed from the yoke of our sin. Christ is born for us. He has united Himself to our human nature. Let us rejoice, for we now have the hope being raised up to be like God Almighty.